We've spent quite a bit of time over the last few weeks talking about things related to soul winning and evangelism. We started out about a month ago in discussing the greatness of the commission. Then we studied some of the realities that have to do with winning souls, and we noted that there are some things that don't always work out the way that we'd like for them to. And then we studied the statement that Jesus made regarding the fact that the harvest is plenteous, but the workers are few. This morning, I want to turn our attention to the subject matter that is suggested in that first song that we sang, Rescue the Perishing. And I invite you to listen again carefully as we take a little closer look at the words to that song and see some of the things that are suggested, of course, that we've already sung, but that we perhaps may not have exactly focused in on. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. You know, that verse is all about the effort that must be made. Notice all of the verbs there. In that first verse, rescue, care, snatch, weep, lift, tell. Those are all things that we have to do. Every single one of those words describes the responsibility that we have toward those who are lost. And it takes a great deal of effort to carry out those kind of things. You see, none of those things are the kind of things that we can just do lightly. They're not the kind of things that we can just brush by and say, okay, that's done, let's go to the next one. That's not the nature of those kind of things. Rescue. Care. The next verse, though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently, he will forgive if they truly believe. The marvelous grace of our loving Lord is explained there in that verse. They are slighting him. They've rejected him. Many of them have turned their backs on the Lord openly and in a definite effort. Still, he is waiting. How patient the Lord waits for people to come back. He's not going to be patient forever, though, and therefore we must plead with them earnestly. We must plead with them gently and assure them that he will forgive. The next verse, verse 3, down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving hand, wakened by kindness, cords that were broken will vibrate once more. The condition of those who are lost. The overpowering nature of sin and guilt to crush the human heart. And yet the forgiveness is there because of the grace of God. Grace can restore those hearts. Chords that were broken will vibrate once more. And then verse 4. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Strength for the labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. There's the responsibility factor. The song uses the word duty. Duty demands it. It is our duty, but it's interesting that the song points out that the Lord provides the strength. In other words, we're not at it by ourselves. We're not working alone. The Lord will provide and He will help if we will patiently win them back to the narrow way. This morning, I'd like to look at three very challenging questions that rise out of the text, or basically the title of that psalm. Three questions that are very simple, and yet three questions that demand to be answered. The first one is this: who are the perishing? Rescue the perishing. The last song that we just sang puts it another way. It refers to them with that little word that we perhaps don't like to use very much. It's a very powerful word. The lost. Rescue the perishing. Seeking the lost. Jesus referred to certain people as being lost. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, when he said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost." In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul referred to some as being lost, and he said that they are that way because their actions show that the God of this world has blinded their eyes. Remember the song said, "Feelings lie buried, crushed by the tempter." Those who are lost are those who are outside of Christ. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." The lost, then, are all of those who have not come to God through Jesus. But who are they exactly? Well, they're just ordinary people. There isn't really anything that's inherently different about them just because they're lost. They look like everybody else does. They get up out of bed in the morning like everybody does. They go to bed at night just like you and I. They dress the same way. They operate the same. They hold jobs. They earn a living. They're just regular, old, ordinary people. There are some weird people. They may be a little bit strange. They may be a little bit different, but it's not because of the fact that they're lost. They may have a peculiar personality, but not because they're lost. They are good people. People who live right down the street and who would be more than willing to help you in any way that you need. People who are kind-hearted. People who try to do a good job raising their families. People who appreciate good moral standards. Just because they're good people doesn't mean they may not be lost. The Bible shows us a picture of more than one who were good, honest, upright people, but they had never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, they were lost. Oh, there are some bad people too that are among the lost. But the interesting thing is that they're not bad because they're lost, necessarily. Being lost doesn't cause them to be bad. Good people, bad people, people in the middle, charitable people, stingy people, they're people. Normal people. But the fact that they're lost is because they are outside of Christ. Those are the lost. Those are the perishing who need to be rescued. Another good question that we should ask based on the title of that song is, why should we rescue them? There are some really good reasons for rescuing perishing souls. There are probably also some bad reasons for trying to do it. To some people, it's just a numbers game. I can remember the time when it was very common for preachers to hold a gospel meeting in a certain place and then write in a report to the gospel advocate so that it could be published and tell how many people were baptized, how many were restored. Started out as a pretty good thing just to kind of report and let people know about progress, but it wasn't too long before it seemed like some guys got caught up in a little bit of a contest, wanted to see who could report the biggest numbers. Those are not good reasons for rescuing the perishing. I like Paul's approach in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, where he said, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one would say you were baptized in my name. He said a little bit later on in chapter 3, verses 6 through 8, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. And he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. We don't have to worry that we're not going to get credit where the credit really matters. God will see to that. We need to be reaching the lost because we love their souls. It's more than just a challenge. It's more than just a duty that we've got to mark off and move on to something else. I like the way Paul put it in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, when he described his work and the work of every one of us in the church as speaking the truth in love. It's interesting that everybody isn't all that interested in reaching the lost, even though we have been given something so marvelous as salvation. Some people seem to never get around to recognizing the fact that they have something that others need so desperately. We should be seeking the lost. We should be rescuing the perishing because we have, we have the greatest treasure in the world, salvation. And we should want others to have it as well. Inevitably, we've got to ask the third question. What if we don't rescue them? The plain and simple truth is that those who are not rescued will be lost. So what does that say about us if we refuse to rescue the perishing? As the song has already suggested to us, if we allow them to go on their way without attempting to rescue them, we've shirked our duty. Not only have we shirked our duty, our responsibility, But the principle that's stated in that reading that Stephen read to us a few minutes ago seems to indicate that we'll be held responsible. And then there's the text of that other song. When in the better land before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls may be if any lost one there should cry in deep despair. You never mentioned him to me. We must be about the business of seeking and rescuing lost souls. People around us, at work, at school, in our neighborhoods, yea, all across the world, are perishing spiritually, and we need to be rescuing them. As we've discussed before, anytime you undertake a task, you need to be properly prepared and equipped. And that's part of the reason behind why we've been studying these lessons, to remind us of the duty to prepare ourselves. Here's the way Jesus depicts the scene, illustrating it with servants that have been charged with the duty of taking care of the master's house while he was away, in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 35. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. The Lord expects us to be active, to be responsible, to be dealing with things other than just the mundane daily affairs that we have brought into our own lives. It does seem like these days it takes more and more time to keep everything going in the right way if you're trying to raise a family. You're trying to earn a living. There seems to be no end to all of the duty and responsibility of an earthly nature, but God does not give us a pass on reaching the lost, rescuing the perishing, just because we may be busy at some other things. Tonight, Lord willing, we'll talk further about this subject and turn to Luke chapter 15 that we'll call the chapter of rescue, and note some of the ways and methods and means that we can use to reach the lost, to rescue the perishing, to find those who need salvation. Are you a child of God? Have you obeyed the gospel in the way that the New Testament says that it must be done? Believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sin, confessing your faith in Him, to be buried with Him in baptism and rise and walk in newness of life. If you haven't done that, why not do it today? If you have done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, why not come back? Come back today. The Lord is waiting. He has extended His invitation. If you're subject to His invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.